Ah, good morning. Good morning. How you doing? That picture of Johnson is a classic, isn't it? What a wanker. Christ. Imagine working on Boris Johnson's team. Imagine being one of Boris Johnson's handlers. There's nothing you can do, really. There isn't any occasion. There's no occasion. No meeting, no summit, no conference where Johnson can't be photographed looking like a complete plonker. Yeah, there he is at the UK Africa Investment Summit yesterday, which I took the piss out of on Twitter yesterday. It's more like the UK Africa Raping Conference, raping and pillaging and yeah, all of that. Anyway, you're in good form, yards. It's Tuesday, the 21st of January. Why do you tell us that? Well, I just do. I do, I tell you. It's old habit. It's an old habit, and old habits die hard. It is the 21st of January, so we're nearly 2/3 of the way through winter. Nearly. It's a milder day in the northwest today than it has been in the last few days, where it's been freezing. So it's milder. I've got the full on head cold and the chest infection, but I'm battling through it. It's difficult at times. At times during the day, particularly in the night time. My breathing sounds a bit like a cement mixer. I had a pretty rough night last night. I found it difficult to breathe. I don't have any more steroids. Any steroid junkies out there that can give me some steroids? I'm not going to the local NHS surgery because I can't be arsed. I don't like NHS surgeries. I don't like doctors. Doctors are shit, aren't they? In 2020, aren't they? Is that fair? Is that a crass, a gross generalization? It might be. It might be. But my most recent experience of a GP was going to see one with the future Mrs. Allen. She was the patient in question. And the conduct of the doctor was fucking disgraceful. Your NHS visit these days is a 5-minute thing. Honestly. And the usually young doctor who hasn't the first fucking clue about medicine got their degree because they crammed the bejesus in the days before their exams and really learned very little. I know there will be one particular friend of mine who won't like hearing this or who might disagree with it. Learned sod all, really. Crammed like a motherfucker and probably used speed and God knows what else to help them do it. They then qualify and you go and see them after they've done their stint in accident and emergency. After a couple of years, they're sent out to an NHS surgery and you go and see them, and they're not interested in speaking to you. Targets, you see. And you're talking to them, and while you're talking to them, they're doing this because the computer is going to tell them really what you need. And then they're going to write you a script and they're going to send you out the door all in a few minutes. So, no. I won't be popping along to my local NHS surgery anytime soon. Very negative portrayal there of doctors in the UK. Well, I can only speak for the UK. It's a bit different in Ireland, maybe. It's easier to access a private practitioner in Ireland and an older private practitioner at that. But I don't know. There you go. I'm just not feeling the Mae West, is what it is. But we'll soldier on. We'll soldier on. There's Johnson there. He'll be in Davos today, no doubt, at the World Economic Forum, the other national leaders. Papers, straight in, straight in, straight up, straight up, straight in. This is the worst live stream in YouTube history, the BBG, not the BBC. My name is Richie Allen. Good morning to you. Live from Salford. This is live. Do not swear. Here's The Guardian, front page, The Guardian. Came up yesterday. We talked about The Guardian yesterday. Perilous times ahead for BBC as Director General says he will quit. Tony Hall stepping down. Going to the National Gallery, is he? As the BBC Director General. Is that what I read this morning? Tony Hall. And the BBC has been in the news of late. The licence fee. The government has said that it will take a look. It hasn't committed to it. It will take a look at decriminalising non-payment of the BBC licence fee, which at the moment is a criminal offence. It's a criminal offence to have a television set and to watch BBC programming and not pay the licence. It's a tax. It's an outrage, is what it is. So this has been discussed today. Also talk of Netflix and the BBC. Just before we move on to the other front pages, let's just be done with the BBC. The story is picked up in the Times. There he is, Tony Hall, BBC. And the Matthew Moore quoting Tony Hall about Netflix. The BBC has got to change, got to improvise, it's got to adapt, it's got to overcome in its programming in the near future because of streaming services like Netflix, which are doing quite well. The BBC. Educate, entertain and inform. Yes, educate, entertain and inform, the BBC mantra. It doesn't do any of the above. It certainly doesn't educate. Entertain, I haven't seen anything entertain. I don't watch the BBC. Inform, no. No, it doesn't inform. We'll come back to how it doesn't inform in a moment. There's some news about Douma and the OPCW and chemical weapons attacks that never happened. We'll talk about informing people in a minute. So that's the front page of The Guardian. There you are. Be Jesus. The Financial Times. Downbeat IMF outlook diverts Davos focus from climate goals. Climate change will come up quite a bit at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Greta Thunberg is there, apparently. I know. I shake my head sometimes. At times I am bewildered. At times I find myself pinching myself. Genuinely. Seriously. Not a joke. Going like this. Banging that feckin' microphone again. Going like this. Am I really living through this? Is a batshit crazy evangelical religious maniac child turning up to these summits and forums screaming at political leaders that they must change our lives and bring us back to the Stone Age? Am I really fucking living through it? And I go like this. Yeah. Yeah, I know, I'm a fucking child. You know that. Give over. Right. Greta Thunberg. Right, The Sun. I told you, it's the worst live stream in history. There's no decorum here. No decorum. The Joy of Sussex. Look at that. Look. I can't even move the paper. There's Meghan Markle with her baby, Archie. The little Archie. And she's in Canada. And apparently, Harry is in Canada too. How lovely. The Sun. The Mail. Royal Peter for hire in China. Apparently, Princess Anne's lad, one of her lads, one of her children, has been appearing in television ads promoting products, and that's not apparently supposed to happen when you're a member of the royal family. It's in the Daily Mail. I couldn't give a shit, so I didn't read that in any great depth there. I couldn't give an arse. Look at this. What the fuck? Nothing is working today. Mother of divine Jesus Christ. Nobody swears like the Irish. Very lyrical. The Mail, The Times. Academic reveals her ordeal in Iranian jail. This is a British-Australian woman who's locked up in Tehran and has smuggled an essay of sorts or notes out through a more sympathetic jailer or prison guard. And it's not good. Right? So that's in The Times. Naginin Zakari Ratcliffe being locked up in Tehran is not good either. Shouldn't happen. Okay? We back Iran and we support Iran when it comes to, you know, the West's determination to overthrow the government in Tehran. We back Iran. We back Iran because Iran is not the chief antagonist in the region. Israel is. We'll always support Iran because it doesn't invade sovereign countries and it doesn't destabilize the world. We'll back Iran. But it's also quite shit, Iran, in other areas. So we've got to be condemning of it. We've got to be consistent here. It's not good, Iran, there. Bamber, new evidence gives me alibi. There is a There is a drama, and it is currently showing on ITV here in the UK about Jeremy Bamber. I've taken an interest in this in the past, in the Richie Allen show, radio show. Friends and supporters of Jeremy Bamber have been on the programme. In fact, I must give them a ring and get them back on. David Tennant is probably the most well-known actor in this drama about the White House farm murders. And the Mirror today running with the story that Bamber claims there is new evidence and it gives him an alibi, which he says will clear him of those horrific murders, which happened back in 1985, didn't they, or something like that. So that's the Mirror there. We might come back to that on the radio show this week. We might do. Hopefully. We'll see. We'll see. Get my team of researchers onto it. Here's the Daily Star. We'll let rip for a year. During the Masters snooker final at the Alexandra Palace on Sunday evening, which I watched because I love my snooker. I love me snooker. I'm a big baldy gammon. Middle-aged white male. Why wouldn't I love me snooker? I'm trapped in the past. Toxic, masculine, toxic male. Stuart Bingham was playing Ali Carter. There's Stuart Bingham there. He won the tournament. And somebody placed a whoopee cushion somewhere in the arena. And it led off whoopee cushion noises while the players were trying desperately hard to concentrate on their shots. And apparently the people who did it said, we're not going to stop there. We're not going to stop there. We're going to bring chaos to the UK sporting events with whoopee cushions. Whoopee. My favourite gag of all time, Joe Pasquale. My favourite gag of all time. It never fails to make somebody laugh, providing that person has never heard the gag before. Do you hear that Whoopi Goldberg is getting married to the French actor Gérard Depardieu? Forever after, she'll be known as Whoopi Doopy Doo. Love that gag. That was the Star. Whoopi Doopy Doo. Boris Blitz on Terror. Priti Patel, the Home Secretary, one of Johnson's, I suppose, chief allies. And it's a top job, the Home Secretary. Longer sentences removing the possibility of early release and lie detector tests. Yes, lie detector tests for fanatics to check and see if they've really reformed. Imagine that. You'd love to be in the room, wouldn't you? Watching the jihadi hooked up to the lie detector test, being asked a series of qualifying questions just to make sure the machine is actually working, and then being asked questions about whether or not they feel, you know, whether they believe in an Islamic caliphate, whether they want death for all infidels. A lie detector test, yeah. This makes the news everywhere today. It's in the Mail today. The lie detector test proposed because of the London Bridge murders carried out by that man there, as you know. And he was supposed to be reformed. There's so much wrong with that story, that London Bridge attack just before the election. So much wrong with it. But I won't get into it here. So lie detector tests, yeah, why not? Why not? Whenever I hear lie detector tests, being the big baldy gammon, being the big child that I am, I always think of an episode of The Simpsons, the Who Shot Mr. Burns double bill, which is a double two-part episode when Monty Burns was shot after he tried to block out the sun so that Springfield citizens would have to use more of the juice provided by the nuclear power plant. Mr. Burns, the bastard. And the town turned against him. And he got shot, but we didn't know who did it until the end of the second episode. But there's a lovely scene in it when Mo the barman, Mo Sizlak, takes a lie detector test carried out by Chief Wiggum. It's very funny. Here it is.
Do you hold a grudge against Montgomery Burns?
No. All right, maybe I did, but I didn't shoot him.
Checks out. Okay, sir, you're free to go.
Good, because I got a hot date tonight. Odd date. Dinner with friends. Dinner alone. Watching TV alone. All right. I'm going to sit at home and ogle the ladies in the Victoria's Secret catalog. Sears catalog. Now, would you unhook this already, please? I don't deserve this kind of shabby treatment.
Marvelous. Love that. Love that. Mo Sizlak there. So that's the Metro. Boris Blitz on Terror. Lie detector tests, huh? What about the... Where are we going next? The Telegraph, is it? There's the Telegraph. Terrorist to be denied early release from prison. Same story. There's Johnson pictured with Harry Hewitt at that Africa Investment Summit. Yeah. I know. The fuck does that ginger muppet know about the economy and investing in Africa? Nothing is the answer, of course. Here's the eye paper. HS2 rail opposed by new Tory MPs in the north. It's a kind of a running story last couple of weeks, this HS2 thing, high speed railway, which has gone way, way, way over budget, and that's only the beginning of it. It's going to go millions and millions and hundreds of millions over budget. It's supposed to be providing, you know, cutting down journey times between London in the north, Birmingham in the north, halving the times, and it's supposed to be ready to go in 15 years or thereabouts, but it's costing a fortune. Bit of a red herring, maybe. The Express. Anger as EU drags feet over trade talks. The Express is the only newspaper I've seen this story in today, and it is the allegation that the European Union and its negotiators are deliberately slowing down the progress. When I say deliberately slowing down the progress, they haven't begun talking about the trade arrangement yet because we're still 10 days away from allegedly leaving the European Union. But according to the Express, the European Union has put off discussions until March. Meaning that you'd have March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. You'd only have about 10 months then. Right, because the transition period ends on New Year's Eve this year. And contained within the withdrawal bill, the one that went through Parliament very recently, it was amended by the government, and one of the amendments was a commitment that the UK government would not extend beyond December 31st this year. Meaning, if there wasn't any trade agreement signed and agreed by both parties in the coming months, if one hadn't been agreed, the UK would leave fully on December 31st with no trade agreement with the European Union and revert to World Trade Organization terms. Okay? So the Express is saying that the European Union is taking its time, it's putting off negotiations because it wants to panic the UK government. It wants to gain the upper hand by doing that. That's in the Express today. And that's the front pages of the newspapers, by the way. Good morning to you, to those of you chatting away there on the chat, on the right-hand side there of your YouTube page. Thanks for doing that. It is the live stream. It is the YouTube live stream that I do every morning, every Monday to Thursday, 9:30. That you're watching. You know what you're watching. You're not stupid. But you might be listening to this on podcast and iTunes or whatever. You might wonder what the hell it is. It's live on YouTube. We look at the papers and we look at some of the stories inside the newspapers as well. Don't we? We do, don't we? Right. Bit of Irish news, very briefly. There's a general election imminent in the Republic of Ireland. And 3 weeks, is it? Just under 3 weeks. 19 days, yeah, something like that. For the election. The Irish Times, the Irish newspaper of record, has had a poll conducted. An Ipso MRBI opinion poll, which shows that Fianna Fáil is slightly ahead of Fine Gael, and Sinn Féin is doing well. There's the merry Indian Leo Varadkar on the left there. He's the Taoiseach. And on the right-hand side is the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin, who might form the next government, maybe. Doesn't matter a damn who forms the government in Ireland. Ireland is a vassal state of the European Union. the next Taoiseach, whether it is the Merry Indian or Micheál Martin, will just be a front man. No more for Brussels. That's your job. You must be very proud of it. Here's the graphic there. As to the state of the parties, Sinn Féin doing well. Doing well everywhere in the country except Dublin, apparently, Sinn Féin. Did I read that right? Yeah, I think so. Doing well in pretty much everywhere in the country, but not doing so well in Dublin. The Green Party apparently going to make gains as well. The Greens. The Greens are getting a bump from Extinction Rebellion, right? And Greta, possibly, I don't know. There you go, and all that bullshit. You'll be hearing a lot about Greta. If you're watching BBC, Channel 4, ITV, Sky News, you'll hear a lot about Greta today. She's in Davos, Greta. Yes. There you go. What else have I got for you this morning? It's 9 minutes to 10, 21st of January. A story that's understandably covered by RT, understandably, but nobody else in the UK is speaking about it today. I know this because I have trawled the websites and the analogue channels of the television and radio stations. I've been on TV and radio this morning, I've been listening, I've been watching, I've been reading the newspapers, I've been on the websites. Nobody is covering this. And it's a disgrace. So we've got to go to RT.com. OPCW whistleblower slams chemical watchdog's Duma report in UN Security Council testimony. This should be all over the news today. But it isn't. A former inspector with the OPCW has accused the chemical weapons watchdog, which it is, of issuing a sanitised report on the alleged attack in Douma in 2018, April 2018, the alleged attack. The inspector, the former inspector, the whistleblower, argues that the OPCW ignored serious reservations of its own fact-finding team. It ignored its own team. Now, the final report on Douma, issued by the OPCW last March, omitted key findings of its own inspection team. Now, if you listen to Sunday View, you will know that Peter Hitchens of the Daily Mail has, to his absolute credit, performed stoically, and I would say heroically, in writing about this disgrace in the pages of the Mail on Sunday. Outside of Hitchens, nobody wants to touch it. Nothing to see here. Please disperse, right? So, Ian Henderson, the whistleblower, told members of the UN Security Council in a recorded video address, "The findings in the final fact-finding mission report were contradictory and were a complete turnaround with what the team had understood collectively during and after the Douma deployments," Henderson said. It's hugely important, this. Would you believe the United States refused Henderson a visa to come and testify in person? Just think about that. Henderson was refused a visa by immigration, by Homeland Security, whoever the fuck is in charge of it, because of what he was about to say. But he winged in via video conference. Even though several members of the fact-finding team had serious misgivings that any chemical attack had taken place, as early as July 2018, the organisation's final report, which was compiled by another group that had never even visited the site of the alleged attack, they concluded there were reasonable grounds to pin the blame on Damascus. Nobody in Sky, BBC, Channel 4, ITV, The Guardian, The Times, The Telegraph, none of them is reporting on Henderson's video report to the UN yesterday. Because the whoring media in this country, oh, they fucking ran with that story. Zad attacked his own people. It's a pile of shite. Monumental bollocks. Nobody touching it today except RT. I'm sure Peter Hitchens will be writing about it later in the week, maybe, in the Mail on Sunday. Not a dicky bird from the media here. BBC, you talk about the BBC and the licence fee, you're going to compel me to pay you £150 a year to fucking lie to my face morning, noon and night? Hey? To lie to me, to persuade me that it's okay to send troops, to send fucking aircraft carriers to go and bomb the Syrian capital. And you're a cheerleader for it, the BBC. You want me to pay for your fucking mendacity? No chance. No fucking chance. Will you compel me to pay to be lied to? Lying through your teeth morning, noon and night. Whether it's about Brexit, whether it's about the European Union, whether it's about Iran, whether it's about Syria. No thanks. Nothing from the BBC on the lies that were told about Duma in 2018 and how it's all unravelled. Yeah. Very important that. Jesus Christ Almighty. Chatting away amongst yourselves there. All right. Good morning to you, by the way. It's, I know you've given me stick for not reading out the, say it for me, the comments. I'll read them when there are comments on what is being discussed, right? Rather than just say hello to people, which takes ages. And you know the way it is. You know the way it is. I could be here all day doing that. And this is a podcast as well as a YouTube video. So you understand that. Okay. All right. So good morning to everybody on the chat there, chatting away amongst yourselves. Okay. All righty. Now, interesting. Bloody nose is running. I don't have a tissue, do I? No. Interesting. Said for me, piece in the Mail this morning about Lawrence Fox. Now, Lawrence Fox is an actor and a musician, and he's trending all week over last Thursday's appearance on BBC Question Time, where he incurred the wrath of one woman in the audience who called him, who said that he was, that his white male privilege was central to his contention that Meghan Markle wasn't racially abused. Your white male privilege, or your white privilege is a problem, she said to him, and he then called her racist. And it was the most interesting thing that's happened on BBC Question Time for quite a while. Again, I have to watch that shit, you know, to monitor it and see what's been said by who. But he's been in the media since. Here he is in the Mail today, and he's talking about 1917, which is a film by Sam Mendes, which is a single shot. Am I right in saying that? I hear a lot of stuff, you see, a lot of stuff flying around, a lot of noise, radio, telly. Apparently it's one shot. It's about obviously the First World War and trench warfare, life in the trenches, apparently. And Fox is taking aim at the presence of a Sikh soldier among his institutionally racist. And he goes on to say, does Fox, that while there were Sikh units who did fight the Germans in the First World War, the Germans, it wouldn't have been the thing. It wouldn't have been a thing. You wouldn't have seen Sikhs fighting alongside British troops. That's what he says there. Okay? There's the article there. Sikhs fought with outstanding bravery with their own regiments rather than in British ones in many of the First World War's horrific battles. And he mentions them, including the Somme there. So he reckons that this is a diversity thing, putting this actor whom Fox says is a good actor and does a good job in the film, allegedly. I haven't gone to see the film in the cinema, and I won't do. It's not my cup of tea, really. But he says it's forcing diversity on people. Jesus Christ almighty, leave the microphone alone. So we see a lot of this in television and radio, don't we? Not just television and radio programmes, not just fictional drama programmes. You see a lot of mixed race couples in television. And by the way, I've got the White House Farm drama. Totally wrong. David Tennant is not in that. The Jeremy Bamber drama. David Tennant is in another drama on ITV, or is it Channel 4, which I've seen, which is about a murder of a family. It's a fictional thing. It just occurred to me just there. This is how you know you're getting old. Because when you're younger, you're a veritable treasure chest of facts about television and radio programmes that you like. You're a bit of an anorak. When you get older, you forget things and you mix things up. David Tennant is not in the Jeremy Bamber dramatisation. So apologies for that. He's not. Anyway. The reason it's occurred to me again is because in that David Tennant thing, there's a mixed race couple in it. And you see a lot of dramas these days. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with mixed race couples, by the way. How could I? Who gives a fuck, you know? Love is love, you know? You fall in love with somebody, it doesn't matter what they are, what they look like, you know, where they come from, what they sound like. It matters not. Of course it doesn't. The point is, and the point Fox is making is that there is a manipulation of sorts going on. And we don't like that. We don't like to be fucking manipulated. We know that black men and white women, or white women and black men, although there's nothing fucking wrong with it and there's nobody's business, we know that it isn't the norm. It's kind of unusual, isn't it? Again, snowflakes, there's nothing wrong with it and it's nobody's business. But it's an unusual thing. But you wouldn't believe it's unusual if you were to watch television drama in the UK and in the US. So why? Is there something going on? Is there an agenda? I don't have any proof there is. But it's so commonplace now, you have to think maybe. It's the same with advertising on UK commercial television channels. Advertisements. Again, a lot of mixed race couples. A lot of ethnic minorities popping up in the ads. You wonder. And if you came from the planet fucking Zog, as Zig and Zag do, if you're Irish, you'll know what I'm talking about, and you visited this planet for the first time ever, or you didn't visit planet Earth, but you watched our television, you would get a distorted representation of the reality of our lives, I would imagine. Because mixed race couples are not around every street corner. Again, for the fucking morons who don't listen to what they're being told, and I like to pick out individual segments, I don't care. None of my business. You know? White supremacists think there's something very wrong with it. But white supremacists are fucking idiots. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with finding love wherever you find it. And I used to wind up my old granddad about going to England, meeting a black woman, and marrying her and bringing her back. And because of his age, because of his generation, he used to say, "You're not going to bring her back here!" And he meant it. "You won't be left in here! You won't be coming in through my front door! With your black woman!" Different generation. Not racist. Sheltered. Sheltered. Not exposed. Had no experience of people from different backgrounds. That's the way they are. I told you about my old friend Egidio Gianni, who died in 1995. Huge influence on me. Loved him. Italian man. An amazing man. Captured. Prisoner of war. Italian soldier. Threw their fucking rifles down and ran to the nearest arresting officer. "We don't like Mussolini." And he was in, he was held prisoner in England. And after the war, he didn't know what to fucking do. He came from Pisa, the Leaning Tower, city, the Leaning Tower town. He came from Pisa. And he went to Ireland. And he met Molly, great Waterford girl. Molly would be a third cousin of mine. On my father's side, it's all mad. And he worked in Waterford Crystal. He became a glassblower, lovely guy. But he had his reservations about black people and dark-skinned people as well because of his age and because of what he was exposed to growing up in Italy, in Pisa, where there were no black people. And I told you the story. A black girl won an Olympic medal for Italy in the Olympics in Atlanta, and he refused to accept it. He wouldn't celebrate it. She's not Italian. So that's the way it is. I'm going off topic now. I'm losing my train of thought. Yeah, so you're seeing it everywhere. Is it manipulation? Maybe it is. I think maybe it is. Maybe it is diversity on steroids. And that's what Lawrence Fox is taking aim at. You know, it's unlikely there would have been a Sikh lad serving with these guys in the trenches. So why the fuck is he there? Is the question. And I suppose the snowflakes, if we call them that, I suppose the progressives will scream bloody murder. This is further evidence of Fox's racism. When Fox, who I know nothing about, I've never seen anything that he's been in. If I was interviewing him and I was working for the BBC, you'd have to go all lovey, wouldn't you? You'd have to lie. I loved that thing that I saw you in. So I don't know anything about Fox, but I don't think what he's saying is racist. He's asking, are we being fucking programmed? Maybe we are. Maybe we are. Telegraph today. Anti-Catholic bias. Intolerant Labour can't afford to become the anti-Catholic party. This starts off a bit windy, this article. About JFK, the Catholic president, of course. JFK. And then goes on to talk about Rebecca Long Bailey. Rebecca Long Bailey. Salford Eccles MP, who wants to be leader of the Labour Party. And how she's been targeted. How a lot of bile has been thrown at her. See, I couldn't organise a piss up in a fucking brewery. There you are. Because she answered a questionnaire that was sent out to all Labour candidates by a Catholic group or a Catholic institute, a society, whatever. And she expressed reservations about terminations post 24 weeks, terminations when it is discovered that the baby might have a disability. She's a Catholic. She believes in God. And believes in the word of God. And wouldn't be inclined to have an abortion herself. Wouldn't be inclined to support it in that sense, you know, from a personal point of view. But from a professional point of view, she has said, well, I accept that pro-choice is here. And I accept that women have a right to choose. She's been fairly clear about that, Rebecca Long Bailey. But she's getting it in the neck because of comments she made in this questionnaire. And the Telegraph editorial there, the opinion piece, is saying Labour can't afford to become the next anti-Catholic party. But this is all, again, you know, part of this kind of this reality that we live in now. We live in binary choice reality. That's what I've been calling it. When I've been talking about it with my friends, it is the reality of the of binary choice. You know, everything, every complex issue is reduced to a series of simple absolutes. Simple absolutes. And you are either with it or you are not with it. There is no time for teasing out an issue or grey areas or seeing the pros and the cons. There is no time in this current paradigm for saying, well, you know, it could be argued that there is a moral issue with aborting babies as late as that. It could be argued that there is a moral issue with aborting a baby if the baby has Downs. Downs children live a very happy, lovely and healthy life. Many of them are lovely people. I had the good fortune many years ago to work with children with Down syndrome, and I was never as happy in the few weeks I was doing that. Honest to God, no virtue signalling here. I never laughed as much. I never had as much fun. I never felt as much love as I did during that particular time. And a neighbour of mine had a first cousin who was born with Down syndrome. And I spent a lot of time around him as well. So there's no room for that. There's no room for talking about that. It's either you're pro-choice or you're some regressive fucking Catholic bigot. And we never used to converse like that. We never carried on like that as people. There was always the tolerance for a broad range of opinions. Wasn't there? You know, you could have, I mean, I remember chairing debates about abortion on Irish radio years ago. And everybody had a little bit of respect for everybody else's opinion. Nobody was called a bigot or a misogynist because they said, look, I don't believe that we should abort children full stop, and I'll tell you why. They were allowed. Their careers weren't threatened. You know, but this is where we are now. Binary choice. Are you Oasis or Blur? And in the current paradigm, to use that example, you can't say both. You can't say, well, to be honest with you, I like Definitely Maybe. I think Oasis did some really good stuff on that album. And Leisure by Blur, that was a cracking album. You know, I don't think the bands are in comedy. You can't say that. It's either one or the other. You're either with us or you're against us. You know? This is the way these questions are being posed to people. Binary choice. You know, do you think trans women have a right to be women and should have the rights of women? Do you? Yes or no? But it's not yes or no. It's fucking complex. Yes, I believe that if a man wishes to identify as a woman, he should be allowed to. He shouldn't be mocked. He shouldn't be ridiculed. He shouldn't be marginalised. He or she, as she sees herself now, shouldn't be limited as to what they can do. But there is a major fucking but, and we know what all the buts are. But you can't say but. No. To say but is to be a bigot. Is to be a transphobe. Is to be a trans-exclusionary radical feminist. And this is an idea whose time has come. I don't see any stopping this. None. We're stuck with it. Anyway. All right. And we never... Again, I do give Jean Anne a fair few mentions. And I'll tell you why. Because she's done the fucking lot. Films. Massive feature films. National theatre. Television. The whole lot. And live radio presentation, production, writing for The Guardian, The Times, the fucking lot. And I mention her because she probably couldn't have imagined a time where we would be here. You can't talk about things. You can't express what you think about something, even if it's wrong, even if you might be wrong because you don't have all the facts. But you have a feeling. Well, I feel it's wrong. You know, don't abort children with Down syndrome. Don't do that. Don't call me hateful. Don't block me. Don't scream at me and say, as a woman, it's your right to choose. Because ultimately, it is your right to choose. And I can't stop you. And I'm not going to troll you and call you a baby killer. I'm not going to do that. But allow me to have my opinion without trying to have me marginalised. Allow me to say, I think you shouldn't abort the child. Not because of Downs. Don't do that. The child will be beautiful and you'll have a great life as a family and your child will live a very great life. Most of the time. this is where we are, you see. Rebecca Long Bailey's getting a bit of it. Again, interesting stuff. We put Trump up there because the impeachment trial begins today. Did you know this? Do you care? What's going on? Do you even know what's going on? Do you have a Scooby-Doo? What's going on? What's impeachment? Any idea, no? Well, impeachment is very simple. It's a process that allows the government, or at least senior people in the government, to hold elected officials to account if it is believed that they have committed offences while holding a particular office. That is as simple as it gets. That's impeachment. The government, which isn't Donald Trump on his own, the government gets to say, you have abused your office. We suspect that you committed a crime or an offence while in office. Therefore, we're going to impeach you. How does it work for the president? Well, once he's impeached, and the Democrats, they prepared and then published those articles of impeachment. They sent them to the Senate. Once impeached, the impeached person goes on trial in the Senate. Very simple. The Senate, right? Congress, Senate. Congress, Senate, right? Upper house. And it is senators that will ultimately decide whether Donald Trump is guilty or not. Senators. Simple as that. So it's not a criminal trial. Trump can't go to jail. It's a political thing. He could lose his job, but he can't go to jail. So he's accused of seeking help from Ukraine's government to investigate Hunter Biden and creepy Joe Biden. He is creepy, isn't he? Asking the Ukrainian government to do that, and he's accused of saying that he would withhold millions of dollars of military aid which had already been approved by Congress. And then he's also accused of obstructing Congress. That's right. I'm thinking on the fly here. That's what he's accused of, right? It begins today. Loads of comments on this, I see. So how does it work then? Very simple. Senators will hear from both sides. They will hear from prosecutors from the House of Representatives, Congress, and they will hear from Trump's lawyers and any relevant witnesses, although Trump probably won't testify. It's very unlikely. Okay? Alan Dershowitz, creepy bastard, Alan Dershowitz, will be representing Donald Trump. Do you know who he is? It's very fitting that Dershowitz is representing the Donald. There he is. What a creepy fucker. He was part of O.J. Simpson's defense team. And he defended Jeffrey Epstein. And Virginia Roberts Giuffre has accused him of molesting her. He's a sleazy, dirty bastard. It's pretty apt that he's on Team Donald. Of course, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of women who have accused Donald Trump himself of molesting, assaulting, or attacking him over the years. And I have no doubt many of them are telling the truth. Trump is vile. He's filthy. We know this. I don't think there can be any doubt about it. So there's Dershowitz. All right, what a cesspit it is, right? That's why this impeachment thing, I suppose, gets on a lot of people's tits. There's a lot you can go after Trump, you know, that he really did. This Ukrainian nonsense, I don't know if it amounts to much more than a hill of beans. It could take weeks. Weeks. Bill Clinton's impeachment. I did not have sex with that woman. Bill's impeachment took a month. A fucking month. When they hear all the evidence, it could take weeks. They will then be given a day. One day they will get the senators to decide whether or not Trump should be convicted. If he is convicted, he's gone. And Mike Pence will be sworn in. If he's not convicted, which he won't be, it's business as usual. Why won't he be? Because a two-thirds majority of the 100-seat Senate is needed. That's 67. But the Senate is Republican-controlled, so it's very unlikely that he will be evicted from the Oval Office. So his enemies, don't get excited. Nothing to see here. Hey, speaking of Clinton's impeachment, it's always good to mention, always, that $50 million was spent on trying to determine whether or not Bill got a blowjob from Monica Lewinsky in the garden shed at the White House. $50 million. Compare that with the $3 million that was given to Thomas Keane to investigate the events of September the 11th, 2001. Yeah. I know a lot of you don't know that. I bring it up every now and then. I've read the 9/11 Commission report, by the way. You won't find anybody, maybe you will, who studied that as much as I have. I've read Thomas Keane's book, where Keane said the whole thing was set up to fail. He was the 9/11 Commission chairman, by the way. And he said in his book, it was all set up to fail. Nobody would talk to us. We were stonewalled everywhere. And they gave me $3 million. We asked for 11, which still wasn't much, really, considering all the fucking lawyers' fees, right? After the lawyers' fees, there's not much left to spend on forensic investigators. $3 million to investigate the deaths of over 3,000 Americans. Oh, America. 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 I wish the fucking Chinese would nuke it from orbit. Give our American friends 2 weeks to get the fuck off that fucking cesspit. And then the Chinese just fucking obliterate it. Once and for all. And on the way back home to China. Do the same too. To Ireland. Wipe fucking Ireland off the map as well. You thought I was going to say Israel, didn't you? That'd be too easy. No. No, because you'd kill a lot of Palestinians as well. No, we shouldn't be killing anybody. My non-violent stance is sincere. I don't believe in killing anybody. Don't kill anybody. Only in self-defense. Blow up that fucking Ireland. Yeah. Right, there's not much left I can tell you. 23 minutes past 10 it is. Oh, Christ. There was a story in the Times. I can't get into it now. I've got things to do. I'm not feeling very well. I'm genuinely not feeling very well. Just the breathing. It's the breathing that's very difficult, you know. I need steroids. Any big steroid fucking junkie out there with veins popping out of your temples, drop me a private message. I'll take anything. You'll see me here tomorrow. I'll be like the Incredible Hulk. I'll be like fucking... be like this. The one day steroids. I'll leave you with a giggle. You won't laugh at this. My sense of humour is childish. I've been with the future Mrs. Allen for 18 years now. It'll be 18 years in July. Hope the fuck she's not watching. I don't remember the exact date. July 2002 we got together. Do I see Graham Booth in there somewhere? Graham Booth, eh? Triggerwarning.tv, trigger warning on YouTube. Funny. Irreverent. Not irrelevant, I said irreverent. Always worth a watch, those lads. Check them out there. What I find funny generally doesn't fucking find. People don't find funny. But this made me laugh. I've never been unfaithful to the future Mrs. Allen in 17 and a half years. Why do I say that? Because I haven't. And I've never even come close. Because nobody would have me. Look at the big, ugly, baldy fucking head on me. Huh? I'd make a good nodding Richie on the back of somebody's car, wouldn't I? Like this. Let's get on to it, Hayden. Let's get nodding Richies. Nodding Gammons. And if you press a button on its chest, it says, Be Jesus. Yes, I'm a one-woman man. Always will be. And she's the only woman for me. So this made me laugh. This is unlucky. But it's also karmic. Look at this dickhead. Went to the football without his missus. Three fantastic pictures there. On the left, having a snog with a woman who most definitely is not his wife. Top right, he notices that he's on the Jumbotron. Bottom right, fuck! And he's admitted. He's had to admit, he's had to fess up. On his Facebook page, yeah, I was cheating on my partner. So, to you, to you serial cheaters, you bastards. When you go to major sporting events or concerts with someone who is most definitely not your partner, your wife or your husband, refrain from touchy-feely and kissy-kissy behaviour at the event, because you might just get fucking done like this dickhead here. Proper order. Delighted. Wanker. Look at him. Look. Lovely snog. Are we on the big fucking screen? And underneath, shit, we were. Bingo! All right. That's it. Piss off. I don't know what's going to be on the radio show today. I will be there one way or the other. I've nobody booked in. It might just be me and you. We'll see. I've got guests lined up later on in the week for the rest of the week. I don't know what's happening today. But thanks for watching this garbage. Do look after yourselves and one another. Enjoy your Tuesday and join me at 5 o'clock on the usual channels. All right. I'll leave you with the mother of all dickheads, the Prime Minister. Bye for now.